Welcome back to another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur video podcast. We're thrilled to have you back. I am joined by Molly Brodeur of Al Broder's Auto Body. Thanks for joining us today, Molly.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
So, boy, Molly, I was thinking about before you came in today, I said, geez, an auto body shop. What an interesting business. So, could you talk to us a little bit about you're the chief operating officer there,
that's
correct?
Right. Yes.
So, talk a little bit about actually, let's back way up. Talk a little bit about this is a family business. How did the Brodeur family get into the auto body industry?
So actually, the Brodeur family in Marlboro has a long history of being entrepreneurs. My great-great-grandfather was a milkman in Marlboro, and he operated Brodeur Dairy for several generations. By the time my father was at the age where he may have been the next in line, was sort of the beginning of the convenience store, and milk was readily available, so people did not rely so much on a daily or weekly milk delivery service. So my father knew he was good with his hands. He enjoyed working on cars, so he started working for a small shop in Marlboro, really enjoyed it, and at the age of 19 decided that he would open his own business. So he started off in a very small rented space, and then a few years later he built a shop. And then in the early 80s, Marlboro was going through kind of a big boom. We had Digital Equipment Corporation had moved into the area. So he ended up relocating to the location that we've been at since 1983. And then in 2013, we had the opportunity to buy some property that was nearby. And the timing was really good because we were definitely outgrowing our space. And we didn't have the ability to do any more adding on to that existing location. So this other parcel was very close by to our existing facility. So we decided to purchase it. And we've been able to add a lot of complimentary services by doing that. So we do towing now. We have an auto detailing shop. We also have a full mechanical shop. And we were able to add a fast lane collision repair element to the business as well. So in 2013, we started really growing pretty quickly and, you know, doubled our staff size, actually almost tripled it. And we were able to double our production space. And we've kind of been on an onward and upward movement since then.
Well, if you ever had a chance to talk to your dad about what that was like starting a business like this at age 19, I mean, it's hard enough. Being an entrepreneur has so many ups and downs and risks and all, but 19 years old, has he shared with you what his mindset was?
I certainly have, because I know what I was like at the age of 19,
right.
And I can't even imagine having that kind of responsibility. And interestingly enough, the year that he opened the shop was the same year that he got married to my mom. So there was a lot of pressure to, you know, have this be a successful operation. He did say that he just knew that he wanted to not be the norm as far as auto repair was concerned. People sort of have always had this sort of preconceived notion that, you know, it's shady or that there's something that's really not honest and transparent about it, and he really wanted to be different right from the start, which is really what I believe has led to the success of the company overall. My father is as honest as the day is long, and that's how he's always operated, and it's always been about the customer and, you know, doing what you say and say what you're going to do. And, you know, he has shared with me many times, he's had many, many ups and downs over the years, as you can imagine, economy-wise, you know, employee challenges like most businesses have. But overall, he's been very thankful that the business has been able to provide a life for, you know, my family. He's recently retired now, so he's sort of starting the next chapter of his life. And, you know, he's really been the biggest mentor to me in terms of, you know, how to manage your customers and also be a great leader to your employees and have a great culture. So he's taught me a lot and shared a lot with me about his different challenges and fears. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is just always trying to do the right thing and be the best that you can be. And that's what he's done.
Molly, I feel like a lot of businesses, regardless of the industry, that are family-run or owned businesses, it's almost like a cop-out. People get to say, hey, I'm a family-owned business because it sounds so good to the general public. Mm-hmm. Is it an advantage to be a family-run business? If you were deciding on doing business with someone, would it matter more to you if you were deciding between two options, one was family-run, and if so, why?
I do think that there is a certain kind of culture in a family-run business because you're working with family in most cases, at least one other family member, that as you take on new employees and new staff members, you tend to sort of bring them into the family, so to speak. And that's one thing that I will say about, you know, about our company is that we do really have a family environment. Everybody gets along. We care about one another, honestly, genuinely do, and try to support each other in any way that we can. We keep family a focus for everybody all the time. So, you know, our thing is, you know, your family is first. So if there's something that someone wants to do and attend to, see their kids in a game or whatever, they're able to do that. So I do think that there's a difference in a family-run business because you sort of have that culture of being part of something
mm-hmm.
bigger.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that process of, and I know you're a much more versatile company now than just doing auto body, but let's focus just for the moment on the auto
sure.
body aspect. So I've just gotten in a bad car accident. Mm-hmm. I've got to decide what to do with my car. I call my insurance company. My insurance company gives me a list of auto body shops to choose from. And that feels like the normal process for a lot of people. So am I right so far?
You are.
Okay. So now, here I am, I'm getting kind of pressured by my insurance company, I'm pushed in a certain direction of some kind. How do I, as a consumer, how do I know where to go? Like, how do I know this long list of auto body shops, and they all look the same to me.
Right.
So educate our viewing audience. What should they be thinking about in that moment when the insurance company slaps that list in front of them?
Okay. So the most important piece is that in Massachusetts, as a vehicle owner, you have the right to take your vehicle to any registered repair shop of your choice. You do not have to go where your insurance company is suggesting or proposing that you go. As long as you have chosen a registered repair shop, that's very important because that means that that shop is bonded and properly insured, you can take your vehicle anywhere that you choose. So, once you know that, then you have a little bit of homework to do. I would suggest that first you go to the web and you look at shops in your area. You read customer reviews. Most shops that are good shops that produce quality work are going to have some kind of web presence. You want to be able to see what kinds of experiences other people have had with that facility. You then want to find out, do they have an ICAR Gold Class certification? An ICAR Gold Class certification is the highest level of training that a shop can receive. Mm-hmm. It means that their employees have gone through some pretty rigorous training and testing, and the shop has accumulated enough credits to earn that designation. Less than 10% of the shops nationwide have achieved their ICAR
wow.
Gold Class certification.
And your shop has?
Yes, we have.
Wow.
You know, it's something that we took a lot of pride in doing, and once you achieve it, that doesn't mean that you're done. You have an ongoing training obligation in order to maintain your ICAR Gold Class designation.
Okay.
So it's a commitment to training, ongoing, consistent training. Then I would suggest that they find out if that facility has any certifications from manufacturers. That's important because when you're certified, you have access to a lot of information that non-certified repairers do not have. And with the types of vehicles that are manufactured today, the types of technology that are in the cars, autonomous driving systems, there are so many moving parts in vehicles now. That it's incredibly important that a repairer be able to properly fix that specific make and model in accordance with what the manufacturer says should be done. And it's important for a lot of reasons. You want to make sure that the integrity of the repair is going to last. So if you have a subsequent accident, your car is going to behave exactly the way that it should. So I would say those are the big things. You want to check to make sure that they have a presence on the web, that people are talking about them, that there's positive information out there about them. Do they have an ICAR Gold Class designation, and do they have certifications from manufacturers?
Yeah, that was really helpful. So quick question on the registered repair shop, the first one you said, a quick question I have is, if I walked into a repair shop off the street and I said, hey, are you a registered repair shop? What do they need to show me where I can go, oh, phew, they're a registered repair
shop? So it's a certificate of registration that is issued from the state, and it must be displayed in their office.
Okay.
So if they cannot produce that registration, it tells you everything that you need to know.
Okay, so Molly, so you know, it's interesting. With all the helpful advice you gave, you know, the one thing that you didn't mention, which is curious to me, is the face-to-face element of the communication. So I can tell you that I wouldn't have known a lot of the stuff you just mentioned, so I found that to be incredibly helpful. What I would be worried about, in the, knock on wood, the few experiences I've had in this area, is the communication between the body shop they have. I don't want to, I have this rule of customer service, Molly, where the customer should always know, the ball should always be in the other person's court.
Correct.
I don't want to have to guess where's what's happening, when's it going to be ready. So talk just real briefly about that element of your process and communication and keeping customers in the loop of what's happening.
Yes. So that is very important, because most people don't realize that when they have been involved in an accident, their vehicle is going to be at a repair facility for some time. Nowadays, because of the complexity of repair, availability of parts, things like that, it's very difficult to cycle a vehicle through a shop in a day or two even. And those situations do arise, and they can be done depending on the severity. But in general, the average length of repair is anywhere from 9 to 11 days. So you're going to be out of your car for a couple of weeks. So our protocol, we update customers. We have a Tuesday-Thursday schedule. And we will ask you at the time that you drop off the car and hand over the keys what your preferred method of communication is. Most people actually like to have text messages.
I was gonna say,
So texting and email are two of the most popular. And then lastly is call me on the phone. So we have our protocol. We update customers throughout the course of repair, let them know what's happening, give them a promise date. And, you know, sometimes things happen and we have to change the date. But as long as the customer is in the loop, we find that there's, you know, we're managing those expectations throughout the course of repair.
Okay, that's great. So for those of you watching at home, I can tell you one of my biggest issues that I've heard and I've experienced is when the repair's over, right? So now the repair's over, I'm driving my car home, and I'm crossing my fingers that, and it has nothing to do with your organization, it's anybody. You're at the mercy, and frankly, this isn't even an auto body issue. Even if you get any kind of car repairs, you're asking that. So what can you tell people at home who have their baggage and issues around doom and gloom about after
that?
Sure. Is there a way they can feel more confident and safe after the process?
Yes. So a couple of things. First and foremost, we offer a warranty on all of the repairs that are completed at our facility for the life that you own the vehicle. So as long as the vehicle is in your possession and an issue should arise related to the repair work that was done, we would handle that for you. However, before we even deliver the vehicle, we have some very sophisticated manufacturer scan tools that we use. And we scan your entire vehicle to make sure that all of the systems are working properly, all of the sensors are engaged, all of that technology that we rely on more and more over time, the brains of the vehicle now, we are thoroughly checking to make sure that there aren't any issues as a result of the repair, so that we have that level of comfort that when we hand you those keys, we know that that vehicle is working in the manner in which the manufacturer says that it should be.
Okay, that's great. So my last question, talk about, you get up every day and you go to work, and I'm sure you're pride in what you do and your loyalty to your family and helping grow the business, but it, personally, in your heart, why do you love what you do? Like, what for you, not the company, you personally, why do you love what you do?
So, a couple things. So, I love the industry. I think that it's a very interesting, different kind of an industry. You know, we We are repairers, we're independent business owners, yet we do have this kind of outside insurance component that we have to manage. We have our customers who, you know, luckily most people don't get into accidents very often, so when they do, it's upsetting, it's disruptive. And so I really love being able for our company to sort of step in and say, don't worry, we're going to take care of everything for you. We're going to get your rental set up. We're going to handle this claim from beginning to end. We're going to help you with paperwork. We're going to make sure that this process does not disrupt your life any more than it already has by displacing you out of your vehicle for a period of time. So I think it's twofold. I love helping our customers, and I also love being involved in the industry and making it a better place for repairers in Massachusetts to operate and be able to repair vehicles properly.
It almost feels like you see yourself as a bit of a role model, almost setting an example for the industry itself, perhaps maybe because of some of the bad raps the industry gets. Who knows?
Correct. I think it's important. You know, we are professionals and, you know, we should be behaving that way. We should be engaged in our communities. We should be doing everything that any good local business would be doing. You know, paying attention to what's happening economically in your area, paying attention to the schools, paying attention to the business activity that's happening, and then making sure that you're always doing right by your customer.
Well, I have to tell our audience before we sign off, I went into Molly's facility and I was blown away. For all those of you, I don't know what you picture when you walk into an auto body shop, but at Al Brunner's Auto Body, it wasn't like that. It felt very warm. It felt very comfortable. And I think that's important. I think having that culture, as you described before, mm-hmm. it really showed when I saw it. So,
well, thank you for that.
So, Molly, thank you so much for joining us.
Well,
Molly,
I really appreciate the
Al
time,
Brunner's
Mark.
Auto Body.
Thank you.
And thank you, folks at home, for joining us for another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur video podcast. And we will look forward to seeing you next week.